Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anton Irwin. I'm joined by Pete Zayas. Pete, we're a day later, and the nightmare was not indeed a nightmare.
Yeah. I never even considered the possibility.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
No, take your time. Take your time.
The fact that Kobe Bryant could die, like, is like, oh, that guy can die? Like, are you kidding me? It never occurred to me, because he was a superhero. You know?
Yeah. It's funny. You are into your mid-30s. I'm entering
late 30s.
late 30s.
The latest of 30s.
I'm entering my kind of young mid-30s or whatever. At this stage of our lives, we should have understood that mortality is a factor for everybody. But you're right. You're absolutely right. Harrison and I talked about it yesterday, and Kobe was a singular type of somebody we considered immortal because we saw him bounce back from so many things. Mm-hmm. It was, you know, at the end of his career, people don't realize before he tore his Achilles, he was dealing with ankle sprains, and he would play through dislocated fingers and broken fingers. Yep. Because, you know, in his opinion, it wasn't going to get any worse. So fuck it. I'm going to go out there and keep on playing.
Right.
And it was just time after time after time after time. And, you know, the thing I keep kind of coming back to is it's 2 points on that front. It's one thing that, you know, in this era of load management and stars deciding when they do or do not play, even while they are, you know, close to NBA healthy, Kobe flew in the face of that. And yet, even though he approached the game a certain way, like of all players that you would think, all former players you would think would kind of laugh at the idea of load management and knock current players for their approach to staying healthy, Kobe just celebrated the game. He Yep. just loved the game. The image that's going to live on in my mind is always, especially, you know, because Gianna also passed away in that helicopter crash. The image that I'm always going to carry with me regarding Kobe isn't him as an Olympic gold medalist. It's not him standing on top of the scorer's table, triumphant in yet another NBA championship. It's not him ripping his jersey when he beat the Phoenix Suns. It's the image I'm always going to carry forward with me was him teaching his daughter about this game that gave him everything that he loved undyingly. That's the part that I think, you know, we talked yesterday, Harrison and I talked about, you know, the player and the person and all that stuff, but I think the NBA is going to miss him as a championing voice of everything that was good about the NBA.
Well, it's the sport of basketball. He was an ambassador for the sport of basketball.
Yeah.
Nobody, Rebecca Lobo tweeted this, who's a Hall of Fame women's basketball player. There was no greater champion for the WNBA.
Yeah.
Tara Vanderveer, the Hall of Fame coach of Stanford women, you know, shared a story about when they reach. There's so many from the NBA, from youth leagues to, you know, men's basketball, women's basketball. Everybody's got a Kobe story, right? And it's not just like, look, I love the Kobe was a bad motherfucker and was working out mid sweat at 3:12 in the morning.
Yeah.
Stories as much as everybody, but the degree to which he honored the game and honored the people who played it in private moments that we're only learning about now, really, like, there's a certain type of love for something that you can't fake.
Yeah.
You either have that, like, you have to have that internal love to get to places that nobody else goes to. He had a legitimate claim for a few years as being the best player in the NBA. Mm-hmm. And he was extraordinarily gifted athletically, but he was not a like physical freak of nature relative to
Shaq or LeBron or Wilt. LeBron,
Giannis, right? Yeah. Guys like that, who those are usually the guys who have claim. Even Magic Johnson was a guy like that in that period of time, like 6'9" point guard that just didn't exist.
Right.
And Kobe was able to get to those levels because of those, that insane dedication to it, that, you know, the thing that, that gets me, Anthony, that always surprised me. And, but after a few years went by, and especially in his passing, it makes a lot more sense now, was how content Kobe was in retiring. Mm-hmm. I was like, this fucking guy's never gonna like.
Yeah,
he's gonna try to come back three times. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. he's not gonna be able to give this.
Especially
up.
When like the Lakers got LeBron, and like all there was always a question of like, when's he coming back?
Right?
Would you ever? And he was always just like, no, guys, I have dad bod now.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
great.
And he gave basketball everything he had.
Yeah,
there was a content, like all of the sneering and, you know, jersey biting and jaw jutting that he did. After he announced his retirement, he started to smile and he took in the moment, right? And
yeah.
He was content in a way that he was content in a way that you can only be content when you've given something everything you have to give.
Yeah.
And he, that was an indelible part of him that he applied to basketball, but it wasn't the only thing that he applied it to. And the shame is that he's not going to be able to do that in other aspects of his life, specifically with being a dad. I can process Kobe's death, as tragic as it is. Gigi's passing makes me furious, and it's so fucking unfair. Mm-hmm. Seeing 2006 through 2020 written down as a, you know, yeah. the year you were born, that it's just, those numbers don't even make sense to me. I was 25 years old, 26 years old in 2006.
Yeah.
She had so many, like, didn't get the chance to live this and live that in ways that her dad wasn't done, but at least he got to.
Yeah.
He got to live a lot of life, you know?
Yeah. And you think about everything Kobe was able to accomplish, and yeah. and yeah, like, that was ripped away. It's not an option.
And I apologize for not talking more about the other people on the plane or on the helicopter. It's not my story to tell. I don't yeah. know them in any way. I don't want to skim over them as though they don't matter. It's just not my story to tell. But Kobe, and to a lesser extent Gigi, because we saw her grow up, that is our story to tell as Laker fans. So I just want to note that I feel awfully for those people yeah. too. It just, I can't be the one to speak on it.
Yeah, there are hundreds of people's lives that were shattered when that plane went down. And you know, it's not that we are sending any more thoughts and prayers to Vanessa than the orphans that were left behind because their mom and dad were also in that helicopter. It's just that we don't know the people that we would be sending our thoughts and prayers to.
Yeah.
Let's take a quick second here, because Pete, you touched on a point that is going to, like, when we talk about what Kobe leaves to us in terms of legacy and his meaning to us, I think you and I are on the same page on this more than any other thing that you and I have ever talked about. So I'm going to intro it in the next segment, and we'll see where you stand on it and to go forward with it from there. So Pete, you talked about the idea of why Kobe was so content when he walked away, and it was because he gave everything that he could possibly give the sport during his playing career. He gave it to it, right? He had no problem whatsoever pushing in all his chips for the sport and for his career. I think that's, you know, I wrote it for Silver Screen and Roll, and it's not the best thing I've ever written. It was way too raw, borderline rushed, but it was all I had to muster. The thing that I'm always going to remember Kobe for was him just buying in completely to everything that he has. And it's what makes his passing right now all the more brutal to me, because, like, we saw the returns on the investment that he made to basketball. Mm-hmm. If he made that same investment, and we saw the returns on the investment that he made to storytelling, dude won an Oscar. Mm-hmm. If he continued to make that same investment to everything that he possibly was interested in moving forward, the world is probably a better place if we get more Kobe. That to me is, but, you know, to kind of bring it back to what I'm walking away from carrying now that Kobe is now gone, is I'm going to make that same investment into the stuff that I'm interested in. And Pete, you said that it got you started in this industry. It set a tone for the way that you approach the content that you make. And I think that's, you know, we are in some weird way Kobe's legacy. We are some of what he leaves behind.
Yeah. Yeah. That's, I've been dealing with some guilt in the last day since the announcement, in that this, his passing impacts me in ways that people in my immediate family passing didn't impact me. Mm-hmm. I never met the man. Yeah. Why does it matter so much to me? And I'm still processing all of it, and I'm not going to give some complete answer to this, but the two things that I've thought are, he was a source of stability. I think that, like, Kobe showing up and not just bawling out, but, like, giving it everything that he had was something that got me through good times and bad times. Mm-hmm. It was something I could depend on in ways that, just, life is hard, man. And, like, one of my guiding principles in dealing with people is, like, everybody's going through something.
Yeah.
And to just try to be kind, more successful with that sometimes than others. But he was a stabilizing force, I think, in a lot of people's lives, right? If you had a bad relationship with your parents, if you were going through some difficulties at work, in your love life, in school, just Kobe showing up at 7:30 p.m., at Staples Center and doing his thing with just complete devotion and dedication was something that you could tether your boat to if you cared about it enough.
Yeah.
It was for me.
Yeah.
And that, and then just as being somebody to look up to as a role model, for, like, how I wanted to live my life, how I wanted to pursue my dreams and my passion, and the, like, I talk a lot about his determination, but part of that was he was always looking for an advantage, always looking for something that the other guy didn't have. If that meant I was going to talk to you in Slovenian on this play because I've got Sasha on the court next to me,
yeah,
and I need to say something that you can't understand, just like little shit like that, like just anything he could get to get an advantage, he would do it. And, like, the world's hard, man. Like, the professional world's hard. You have to compete and you have to fight and you have to beat other people to get the job that you want to get. It's not that you wish ill on those other people, but you've got to beat them to it.
Yeah, and, you either have to beat somebody out for a job or you have to find a job so bad that nobody wants it.
Right, right.
And then live exactly with that job, yeah.
And one of those options sounds a lot better than the other, but it's a harder road to walk down. Yeah. And, he is, you know, I looked up to him like an older brother. I don't have an older brother, but he was very much somebody that I looked up to. And when I was a teenager, I was 15 when he came into the league, And it was different back then. Like, he was the second high school guy to come into the league in a long time. Garnett did it the year before. He was the first guard to ever do it. So he did not come into the league like Zion or somebody like – or LeBron the way that he did, yeah. Right? Where it's like everyone knows this is – and it wasn't normal. But he was somebody in like watching him grow and get better.
Yeah.
Where it was like as a 15-year-old and as a teenager that was – kind of like, I remember asking my dad, like, I'm not motivated by anything. Like, how do I get motivated to do something? And like, it was just at least an example that I could look to be like, oh, that's what being motivated looks like.
Yeah.
I didn't understand it at the time, and it's taken me years, and I'm sure there's still a lot that I don't get, but that was just like seeing a role model for like what it means to be motivated is just left an imprint on me and will have that on me for the rest of my life.
Yeah. I mean, you think about all the things that he succeeded in, and look, he has those rape allegations against him. That has to be mentioned in part of his resume. But even in regards to that, in the aftermath of that, he became a champion for women's sports, like in ways that other athletes, especially athletes of his stature, do not. He stands up for what he considers right at this point. And yes, he made a terrible mistake and lived that out publicly. But he made right with his wife. He has been an incredible father since. Like I said, he champions women's sports to the day he died. He was on his way, by the way, to a women's basketball game. Like that's where he was going at the time of his passing. And does that make up for whatever he did in that situation with the victim in Eagle, Colorado? No. But does it help me consider him as one of the all-time most important people that I'll ever meet in my life? Absolutely not. We're really going to miss him. We're going to miss him in ways that we don't even know right now because we don't know what he was capable of moving forward. And that, you know, not just that you talked about Gianna a second ago, but Kobe on his way to, you know, probably becoming a billionaire and with the kind of resources that he was going to have at his disposal and the way that he cared about the next man, I really think we're going to miss out on an incredible human being who could have done really special things. And even while we got to celebrate him as a basketball player, I think what he was going to do in his next chapter was probably going to be more important. And it really sucks to miss out on that moving forward. Let's take another quick second here. When we come back, I want to lighten the mood. I want to try to talk about I gave my favorite Kobe memory in yesterday's show. I want to see what Pete, what you have in mind there. And we'll see if we can send everybody off into the rest of the work week with this. A little bit of an update here. The league has decided to postpone the Lakers game against the Clippers tomorrow night or tonight by the time you guys are listening to this. I think it's the right move. I don't think anybody in the Lakers organization is ready to be there for a game. I don't think the city is ready for this. I don't know when it will be, but I think this is the right move in sitting this one out. Even while Kobe would probably say, screw all you guys, go out there and play your damn game. That's kind of what made him special, was that he approached it that way. Not everybody is wired that way. And we saw yesterday what it looks like when you force a bunch of people into a situation they aren't really ready for. So let's take another quick second here. When we come back, let's talk about Kobe's, our favorite quote, Kobe memories. Yesterday, Harrison and I talked about our favorite Lakers memories. I went with the 08 Olympics in that gold medal game against Spain, where he knocked Powell on his ass. He was responsible for, I think at one point, 17 or 18 straight points to close out the game. He did that while LeBron James and Dwayne Wade and Chris Paul and Deron Williams and Carmelo Anthony and on and on and on down that roster all look to him in that big moment. And I thought that just kind of, like, that should be the be-all and end-all to that, to the stupid debate that we've wasted way too much time on, as far as, like, is Kobe clutch, is he not clutch, is he this, is he that, but the numbers say this, but the numbers say that. I think that we're too stupid to recognize that in the moment, and even in the almost 20 years since, or whatever number, 10 years since, we still haven't been able to fully process what we were able to see there. But that, to me, is going to go down as my favorite Kobe memory. Where are you at, Pete?
I mean, there's too many to narrow it down.
I was surprised at how quickly and easily I was able to come to that one. I think people are going to tell me, and actually people have already kind of joked with me on Twitter, that it's because I hate the Lakers.
I couldn't find a
Kobe Laker memory that I liked. But I was surprised at how quickly I was able to come to that one. The world stage to me really, really spoke levels and volumes.
My my favorite Kobe memory is Game 7 of the 2010 Finals.
Yeah, it's a good one.
Because it wasn't his best game, but that's life, right? Like, shit's gonna happen where you're not gonna go 15 for 24. You're gonna go 6 for 24.
Yeah.
Well, when we go 6 for 24 in life, now what? What right. do you do? And he found a way, mm-hmm. right? He wasn't alone, obviously, but he did not hang his head, and he willed himself and the team. In that fourth quarter, Boston was out of fouls with like 9.5 minutes left.
I was gonna mention this. This is incredible.
He drew like 4 of the 5 fouls that like got them there. The 15 boards, the amazing defense, just this is true again. Like, so much about Kobe is applicable to life to me. He's my favorite athlete and favorite celebrity of or any like public figure of all time. And, there's just like just so much about that power of determination and resilience, and that Game 7. Like, imagine that's you, and you're one of the most famous athletes in the world.
Everybody's watching you specifically.
Everybody's watching you more than anybody else, and you are struggling in front of the eyes of the whole world. Mm-hmm. What do? You fucking find a way. That's what you do.
You grab 15 rebounds. He created a ton of rebounds for himself, so he went out and grabbed them.
Yeah. And there's also, like, there's a leadership component to that, too. When you see the guy that's the leader of your group, like, fighting through it and not getting down on himself, but just finding a way, you have no choice but to match that and to bring everything that you've got. And I think that is there was for years and even still in some corners, this notion that Kobe Bryant did not make his teammates better. And if you are pointing to assists or some statistic, you do not get the fucking point.
Yeah.
He was inspired.
Even then, though, like he, I think he has more assists than any other shooting guard in NBA history.
I don't care. It's not about that.
No, I know. I'm just saying, like, even there, like, even if that's the valid point that they're trying to make, it's not valid.
It's like the inspiration to – I don't know if I've ever seen an athlete especially pass away and receive the outpouring of love for what this guy meant to me. He is the patron saint of people who strive, mm-hmm. people who want to get after it, who are determined and single-minded and set a goal. Bro, I was 35 years old when I started LFR, and I didn't start LFR like, oh, I'm going to make this into my career someday.
Yeah.
But when I saw that that was a possibility, I promised myself the moment that I made enough money to just pay my basic bills, I was fucking going to this balls to the wall, man. And that – I got that from Kobe Bryant.
Yeah.
And he – I am not – I have a lot of, you know, self-esteem issues because I know the times when I'm tired and where I don't have it. And I know that if it was, you know, somebody like Kobe found a way to not be tired and found a way to fight through that and push through that. And I don't always, I'm not always able to do that. And I feel very guilty about that when I'm not able to do that. But having that, you know, like I said, I was 35 years old with a high school degree. I didn't go to college and kind of lost, just broken up with my girlfriend and like, what's my life, you know? And it was just one of those points where it's just like, just go for it. Like, just fucking go for it.
Yeah.
And there's no way I'm on this podcast right now without Kobe Bryant and without that inspiration. And, I'll be grateful forever for that.
The podcast doesn't exist probably without Kobe. I was thinking, I've done of all the things that I've thought about most in the last 24 hours or so, 32 hours, whatever amount of time, everything seems to be still standing still. But the thing that I've thought about the most, I owe basketball a lot.
Man.
I met Jen through basketball. I fell in love with the sport even more after I figured out that I was too round to continue playing. And that passion that I found for basketball, well, that was all harvested. That was all cultivated back through those first kind of sort of through those three-peat Lakers. I think I was a little young. I didn't take those. I kind of took those for granted, but definitely in the back-to-back championship years. And the first they beat Dwight Howard and the Orlando Magic, and then again, obviously they beat the Celtics. And, you know, I've been sitting here thinking, so I have Jen through basketball. I have this entire career. We just got approved for a house by way of some of the, you know, the money that I make through this. My daughter is going to be able to go to college, and I'm going to be able to continue to provide for her because of basketball. And I wouldn't be as passionate about it if not for Kobe and Shaq and Fish and Lamar and Powell and I don't know if I'll ever be able to fully repay it, but the way I'm going to try is by giving this my all, like you said, fully going balls to the wall, because that's the thing that pissed off Kobe above all else. He looked at Dwight and he said, here's this guy. He looked at Shaq. He said, here's these guys who have everything, 7 feet tall, crazy athletic. Shaq was crazy skilled as well as being athletic. And Shaq was also Mr. Company Time. And screw that. Like, company time doesn't exist. We are all on company time. People look up to us. We have to produce in ways that live up to the way that people respect us. And that to me, that's the way that I'm going to continue to repay and give thanks to Kobe and to Shaq and to Phil and to all of the Lakers that helped bore this passion for this sport and helped turn that into whatever somehow productive life I've been able to carve out for myself. That, and I'm not the only one here. You're an example of that. Harrison's an example of that. Darius is an example of that. You look at the next guys, the next people that are coming up, Christian, Sabrina, Alex, all Zane, it's just Hani and all the guys at Lakers Outsiders. Like, you have this entire burgeoning group of young people who took the inspiration that they got from Kobe and turned it into this productive thing, this productive culture. And that to me is about as cool a legacy as somebody can leave behind.
Well said.
That's going to do it for this episode of the Locked On Lakers podcast. Like I said a second ago, or at the end of the second segment, there is no game. It would appear right now between the Lakers and Clippers. I still have mailbag questions to get to from over the weekend, so we'll open that up tomorrow. While we are probably going to move off of the Kobe-centric episodes, he will, like I said, continue to live on in the soul of this show. My heart goes out to Vanessa and to the rest of the Bryant family and household. To my heart goes out to all the other families of the victims that also perished in that crash. That was these have been two of the tougher professional days that I have ever had, and I know that I'm not alone in that. And like I said yesterday, if you guys have, you know, if you guys just want to reach out and have a conversation, you know, don't hesitate to do so. Hug your loved ones. This is the only way that it is actually exists as the senseless tragedy that it seemed to be in the moment is if nobody learns anything from it. And the thing that obviously has to be learned from here is if this person that we considered immortal, not capable of dying, if this person dies in tragic fashion, then that's something that can happen to any of us at any time. Hey, Pete, the last time I saw you, we saw you over the weekend at my going away party. And I gave you a hug. I said, I love you. And I'm going to say it again now. And I'm going to try to say it more often to everybody that I feel that way about. That's the only way that we get any kind of value out of what have been two of the tougher days that any of us will really ever really go through. Hope you guys are all able to get through this. I hope we helped in some small way. And when we come back, we'll try to refocus ourselves on basketball in a way that does Kobe's legacy proud. Have a great rest of your day. Make somebody else's. I'll talk to you tomorrow.